Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City on the broadcast today. Assemblyman Andy Matthews, he's a freshman from District 37, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome to the program Andy Matthews. He is an assemblyman from District 37. It is a pleasure to have you back on the program.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
You sit on government affairs, health and human services, and legislative operations and elections. But I wanted to bring up the fact that you used to work for NPRI, and you wrote a lot about government and the way government should operate. And I've always said that there's a big difference between A, being a commentator, B, running for office, and C, actually being in office. So what's it like?
Yeah, it's a world of difference. I'm enjoying it tremendously so far. The pace these last couple days as we were coming up on the deadline for first House passage got pretty crazy there, but we got done what we needed to, which is, of course, a testament to all the hardworking people in that building. But, you know, the biggest difference, I would say, is that, you know, when I was at the Nevada Policy Research Institute, great organization, basically a free market think tank that promotes policy solutions in a number of areas, but generally speaking, limited to tax and budgetary policy, education reform, government transparency, a few others. Really invaluable work, but also somewhat narrowly focused, as any organization has to be. Of course, when you are campaigning for office, and especially when you're serving in office, the scope of the work is much more broad. And you have to deal with literally everything that comes into one of your committees, and you've got to vote on everything that ends up there on the assembly floor. And, you know, the issues are so diverse and cover such a range of topics that it really does force you to expand your horizons in terms of your knowledge on an array of policies. That's been a really fascinating thing for me. Like I said, I've enjoyed it immensely, been very intellectually stimulating, but it really does force you to immerse yourself in and get up to speed on a lot of topics that, you know, back when I was running the think tank, there was no real reason for me to ever look at or study. So it's been challenging, of course, you know, as this always is for any of us, but I've really found it fascinating to have that opportunity to learn a lot more about issues that affect every corner of our state.
With a citizen legislature, you have to rely on a couple of things that full-time legislatures don't. One is the public input, but also the lobbyist input. And over the years, as I've spoken to lobbyists and legislators, the legislators have always said the same thing, which is the best lobbyists give you both sides of the story. Because if they don't, and you find out that you've been lied to in any way, you're never going to trust that lobbyist again. And so there's a reliance in the citizen legislature on those groups. With COVID, how have you found your ability to communicate with those folks?
Well, I've gotten really good at a lot of online programs that I never thought I would have any use for. And there's actually a lot more of them than I would have expected. It's been a challenge, there's no doubt about it. You know, it used to be that somebody was you know, walking through the halls of the building and you had a question for them. Odds are you would bump into them somewhere, or you could shoot them a text or give them a quick phone call and say, look, I'm walking from the fourth floor to the third floor. Come meet me, walk with me. I've got a couple questions for you. Now I'm a freshman legislator, so I didn't have that experience, you know, personally. But you know, that's the way it was typically done. And it was much more efficient in terms of being able to get information from people. Now, or up until very recently, when you had the prohibition on anyone really going into the building except lawmakers and staff, you couldn't do that. So if you wanted to talk to somebody, you know, conceivably you could call them on the phone, but what was typically done is that they would have to, you know, schedule an appointment to do something over Zoom or one of those programs where you'd block out some time on your calendar. You'd have to make sure it worked for them. And you had to really make sure that, number one, your calendars happened to line up in a way where you knew you were both going to be available. And then you had to hope that the internet connection didn't go out or there wasn't some other kind of technical challenge. And so the old way made it a lot easier, I think, to have that flow of information. The way it's been done thus far in this session, no doubt a big, big challenge. But ultimately, that's on us. You know, we're the ones who are elected to serve. We're the ones who are responsible to be informed on a given policy on a given day. And, you know, if we have questions or if there's information we're lacking, you know, it's our responsibility to reach out either to those who will have a good understanding of the policy, research organizations like the Nevada Policy Research Institute, or constituents. You know, I talk to my constituents a lot to get their input on how a particular bill might affect them. So it's a challenge, but you know, if you're really good at this, and I strive every day to be, then you'll find a way to meet it and make sure that you know where to find the information and the tools and the resources you need to make informed decisions for our citizens.
You have always looked at the fiscal responsibility of the state. Now we have a situation where we've already received $18 billion, according to Senator Hammond, and now there are billions more on the way. Does this scare you?
I think, you know, obviously there are a couple of ways to look at it. And a lot of people will look at it as a necessity and an opportunity. And obviously our state took a big, big hit with what happened. But at the same time, there is a challenge that comes with that. And we need to be fiscally responsible. We need to be accountable for those dollars. We need to make sure that however this is all ultimately used, to the extent that policymakers have some discretion on that, we don't do it in a way that ties the state to long-term obligations that are going to be difficult to meet. So we ought to resist the temptation to just say, well, hey, it's raining money, you know, from Washington, D.C., and let's go on this wild spending spree. Let's certainly plug the holes where we need to. Let's certainly make sure that the state is able to carry out its core functions. But let's not lose sight of, number one, the fact that, you know, this money ultimately comes from us anyway, even if it's coming from the federal government. You know, we the taxpayers fund it. So let's not just go crazy with this and act like it's entirely free money. But again, let's make sure that we are responsible stewards of our state government, of our fiscal situation, and make sure that we don't allow the fact that we are getting significant funding coming in let us go down a path where we're writing checks that, you know, future generations, even just future lawmakers, a couple sessions down the road are having a difficult time cashing. You know, that's not what we're elected to do. That's not responsible governance. And so there's going to be some really important conversations we have coming up.
What's your interaction with the Democrats? Because, you know, you've been a strong conservative over the years, and you're in the minority at the legislature. Are there places where you're finding that you can have conversations with Democrats on things that you can agree on, not just on what you disagree on?
Yeah, it's interesting. And this is something that's been a little bit of a surprise to me, the fact that such a large majority of the bills really are bipartisan. You know, there are those issues that, of course, we're going to have strong principle disagreements on. But there are a lot of issues, a lot of bills that are just designed to at the margins, make a particular government agency able to carry out its functions better. And so on those issues, absolutely, you work with members of the other party, either in committee or in the chamber at large, to really fine-tune the best approach there. And that's been a pleasant surprise, actually, the fact that there are a lot of areas where you can reach out. Even on the issues where there may be some disagreement, I've found that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, for the most part, very cordial, very open to discussion. You know, we're all going through such a unique experience together. And you can learn a lot from, you know, those who have done it before, even if it's somebody who may not share your philosophy of government, but has got, frankly, an experience that you simply don't have. It'd be foolish for us to simply miss the opportunity to have a discussion or two with somebody. Hey, what's a good strategy for moving a particular bill forward? What's a good approach if I want to go to another lawmaker and say, hey, I think you've got a great idea here, but here's a way that we can improve it. You know, we have our partisan differences, we have our principled differences. That is not just fine, but I would say it's a good thing, it's an important thing. But there are a lot of things we have in common. And I think we serve our constituents better when we do seek out that common ground and find ways to work together. And I've been encouraged to see that so many of my colleagues from the Democrat Party have shown a willingness to do that. It's been really great.
So does the media miss that, both on a statewide level and also on a federal level, that there are a lot more places where there can be discussion and potentially agreement than there is disagreement?
Well, of course they miss it, because what's the incentive to cover that? You know, if you want to get viewership, if you want to get clicks, if you want to write the big headline, you know, Republican and Democrat have cordial, polite meeting on a minor bill to, you know, revise the city charter of Elko. That's not the kind of thing that your typical, you know, news consumer is going to jump on and say, I want to check that out, you know. Controversy is what sells, and I understand that. You know, I've got a journalism degree, so I understand what oftentimes drives the media, and it is those more contentious issues that, of course, are going to get the attention. And that's not a bad thing. It just speaks to human nature. You know, we are naturally drawn to something that is controversial and issues over which there is some kind of conflict. And that's fine. But I do think it's important to have conversations like this. And, you know, hats off to you for having a discussion about how do things really work behind the scenes at the legislature, where are the areas of agreement, and have an opportunity to really help inform the public that, sure, there are a lot of issues where we make a lot of noise and we have strong disagreement, but ultimately, we're trying to serve our constituents, we're trying to make government work more efficiently, and we shouldn't lose sight of that, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk about that with you today.
Well, thank you, and I guess it was about 12 years ago in the depths of the recession, that I talked about that it's not normally the job of the media to report on all the planes landing safely every day, but there are times when maybe it is. Maybe that the public needs to feel comfortable, to feel safe, because it seems to me that almost every time you turn on a news program, you're being scared. And the reality is that there is no reason to be at that level of fear, and that we could do something as we are here, of having a conversation and saying, hey, you know, it's not guns and knives at the legislature. That was back in the 1800s. Here, we actually talk to each other.
Absolutely. And again, it's not to deny the fact that there are strong principled differences. And there are times when it does get heated and it gets contentious. That happens, though, even within, you know, my own party. And I'm sure it happens on the other side as well. That, you know, and then ultimately, that's not an unhealthy thing either. I mean, we are there to make really important decisions that are going to have a lot of times a very profound impact on the lives of the people of our state. We got into this because we're passionate about these things. And so where there are areas of disagreement, you know, we owe it, I think, to ourselves and to those we represent to make that strong, forceful argument on behalf of the values that we hold and the things that we genuinely want to get out there and promote and fight for. But it is easy, you know, in the midst of all that to lose track of the fact that there are a lot of areas of agreement. Again, more so than I would have anticipated. And that's been a pleasant surprise.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with Assemblyman Andy Matthews after this timeout.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with freshman Assemblyman Andy Matthews of District 37. So you sit on legislative operations and elections. So what are your thoughts on the election that just transpired? Obviously, you got elected. Did you think that it was a fair election, that maybe there was some minor irregularities, but nothing major, or do you think that there was a major problem?
There was certainly some degree of irregularity and some degree of problem. The issue, I think, currently with our system is we've got a system that is designed in such a way where it's really hard to get our finger on the depth of those problems and the scope of them. One of the things that I really took issue with and still take issue with is this practice of universal mail-in balloting. Look, Nevada's got a great no-excuse absentee voting system. Someone who doesn't want to vote in person has the ability to not do so and to still cast their vote, but in a way where we have safeguards. Universal mail-in balloting, especially when we know Nevada's got really unclean voter rolls, I think does open the door for a lot of error, potential fraud, and it really undermines voter confidence. You know, I knocked on an awful lot of doors during my election, in the primary and then the general election, and in that general election, I was talking to, of course, Republicans, but Democrats and independents as well. I had so many people tell me, you know, Andy, two people live in my house. I got 5 ballots sent to me. I've never heard of these other 3 people. And they'll say, you know, I'm an honest person. I would never, you know, fill out a ballot that doesn't belong to me. But they don't know that the person down the street has the same, you know, level of integrity and honesty. And it just really erodes, you know, public trust in what ought to be one of the more sacred elements of our system of government. Again, of course we want people to vote. We want to make sure that those who have the right to vote are able to do so and to do so safely and securely and legally. But when you have a system where you've got ballots going out, you know, all over the state, and you see these news videos from, you know, mainstream, nonpartisan news sources showing, you know, ballots piling up at outside of trash cans at apartment complexes, you don't need a politician or a pundit to come to you and say, hey, this is a problem, this opens the door to fraud. You can see this with your own 2 eyes, and common sense tells you this is not a secure system. So my view is Going forward, let's make sure we restore that confidence and have a system where people can have trust again in our elections.
In the state of Nevada, are there any county officials that you're looking at and saying you didn't do a good job in policing this, that that you can see actual fraud or potential for fraud from these results? Because you got elected and you're a Republican, so if Republicans are against this, you know, you're an example of you got through.
Yeah, well, and I'm you know, obviously grateful to have won, and that's why I think it's important for us to not get caught up in looking at any one particular race and saying, you know, this particular election was wrong, this one wasn't. You know, a lot of focus, obviously, in the aftermath of the 2020 elections was put on the presidential race. But let's not forget that in addition to that, you know, you've got races for federal office all across the country. You've got state races, not just in Nevada, but you've got races for state legislatures in every state in the country. You've got county commission races, city council. You've got races for judgeships. We ought to have election integrity across the board because, you know, any amount of fraud or error should be unacceptable. I look at the case of, you know, Stavros Anthony, who ran for the county commission down in Clark County, which I think was one of the counties where we saw some of the problems, largely because of the unclean rolls.
And it was like about 135 ballots that couldn't be tracked.
Yeah, we had, I think the margin in that race was just a few votes, and 6 votes or something between, you know, the winner and the loser in that race. And the county registrar himself acknowledged irregularities far in excess of that number. And, you know, if you're a voter, whoever you happen to have supported in that race, you want to look at this and say, this isn't acceptable. And one of the real concerns that I have about Assembly Bill 321, which is, you know, making its way through the legislative process now, is this would permanently, you know, codify a lot of the elements that I think led to these problems and led to this real crisis in confidence.
Let me cut you off for a second, because we've got to take another break, make a little money here, and then we'll be right back with our final moments. We'll be right back.
Tamarack Casino is giving away 2 Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win 2 Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food-insecure children in grades K-8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today, we fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at NevadaHeating.com.
Tamarack Casino is giving away 2 Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win 2 Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers in our remaining moments with Assemblyman Andy Matthews of District 37. So, you know, if this legislation gets pushed through in terms of sending out these mail-in ballots, is not the answer to then figure out on a legislative level how to secure those ballots and clean up the rolls
I was told by the ACLU that 10% of Nevadans don't have ID. And my response to that was, first of all, that's a shocking number that 300,000 people in the state wouldn't have ID. But the other part was, I'm more than happy to pay taxes to make sure that everybody in the state has ID. So can we do a similar thing in cleaning up the rolls?
I'm a big proponent of voter ID, first of all. We take it for granted for so many things in life that you need to show an identification to prove who you are. It's a common sense solution. It's not the only solution, but absolutely I'm a big proponent of that. A number of lawmakers introduced bills this session to put that on the books, and unfortunately those weren't, I don't even think they were given a hearing, never mind given an up or down vote in committee. So that's and by the way, if there are people who do not have access to an ID, by all means, let's figure out why, and let's make sure that they have access to
and let's pay
to
for
an
it.
ID. Yeah, if there's, look, making sure that somebody has an ID ought to be a priority. I don't know what the specific numbers are, and so I'm not in a position to confirm or refute, you know, the percentage that you said, that you cited. But of course, if there are impediments to somebody having identification, someone who's here and has the legal right to vote, by all means, let's do that. But we're not doing that. Instead, we are, I think, going the opposite direction in terms of security, and I don't think it serves our citizens well.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much. Please come back before end of session.
You bet. Thank you so much.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.